Hey, welcome to a special Black Friday Shortwave show. Yes, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, but I'm going to say good. I decided I was going to do a show today, even though I thought maybe I wouldn't and it would take a four-day break. The problem is just last weekend, I took a four-day break. So I thought I better get out here and get back to work. So I know some of you aren't going to be watching my trips that I do when I run around New York State and such. So I thought I might as well do this. I've been spending time with my family, as you can imagine, watching a surprisingly huge amount of TikTok videos and YouTube videos. I guess I have to catch up with my daughters, but a lot of that and just a lot of talking about stuff, but really good. And I've eaten a lot, which means I might be sluggish. Those of you who know me know that I tend to be on, I've been in a keto lifestyle for 11 years now, and I rarely eat carbs except on days like this and yesterday. And man, did I eat a lot of carbs. So I was groggy and sleepy yesterday for most of the day. I'm glad I didn't do a show. I probably would have passed that on you. I'm still recovering now. I'm still eating carbs today. I'm going to stop. Probably tomorrow I'll go back on to my keto lifestyle yet again. Probably tomorrow or maybe Monday. I even had a bunch of soda too, which I happen to love soda, but it's just not good for me, so I rarely drink it. But I do love it when I have a chance. I tend to chug it, so that may be a bad thing. In any case, I've yapped away. I wanted to talk about Thanksgiving and the good and the bad. The parts that most of the time we don't think about, and we should. It's not true. The parts that we as average Americans think about, that politicians only seem to care about when election time comes. Things that you see me talk about all the time. Happiness, family, and things like that. And a huge chunk of what makes us happy, what makes us satisfied, is the communities that we're in. Now, for many of us, those communities can be online. That's also part of our communities. But for most people, while many may be online, they also include physically getting together in some point, right? You may have a Facebook friend or a Twitter friend, but you go out of your way to one time go meet them in some way, whether they come to your town, you go to theirs, or maybe you go to some event together or something like that, or maybe you meet like this, back and forth. It's an important part of who we are as humans. We are very social creatures, and that's just the way we are. It makes us happy. But our communities can also be our churches, right? For some people, religion is a huge part of their community. For some people, it's not much. But for many people, that's a big part of the community. It can be a community center for them. So can family, you know, going to people's houses. I remember as a very little kid, when my father was alive, we used to go to Brooklyn, which is where his family was. And my father's family was. And we'd go there and there'd be 15, 20 people in one apartment, small apartment in Brooklyn. And we'd eat and talk and whatever, play cards, whatever was the cool thing that they were doing. I was very little. My memories of that time are shaded, not really sure. I can't remember everything as well as I'd like to. I was very young, 6, 7, 8, like that, a young kid. So, but I still remember the idea and the feeling of it all and what we got from it, I should say. So why do I tell you all this? Because during this time, politicians will say, nothing's more important than family and community and, you know, go hold your family and friends. They'll say those things. Yet they'll be behind actual policies that will devastate all the communities that we find valuable, that will crush all the things that we want to do to be human, to be happy. Well, they'll crush all of those things. I think we saw that more than ever with the COVID lockdowns. And what we see is because of fear, we use the force of government to destroy communities even worse. And when we locked out government and began to shut down communities, we realized that even within our communities, that they were broken even more. The communities couldn't support the people who needed the support. And I think two of the most important stats, there were two really important stats. Hold on one second, Maria. Sorry about that. I had something on in the background I want to shut off. Two of the most important stats I want to bring up is suicide and drug overdose. Those are the two biggest ones I want to bring up. And the third one, which is, you know, bad also, yeah, it's just as bad, I guess, is violence, murder rate. Those three. Suicide, obviously killing ourselves. Overdose is a form of killing ourselves and a form of the black market. And violence is us killing others and the black market. These are the three things that are hurting us more than anything across the state, across this nation. And they should be the number one things, number one on every politician's mind. They're not. Number one should be those three things. How do we fix? How do we stop ourselves from killing ourselves and killing others? You would think life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, this would kind of be the number one things in their minds. But they're not. They're worried about all the other things that make no sense and don't, and we don't care about. So let me move to community. There's so many things I need to touch, and I hope I don't go too vague. I hope you guys will keep me in the chat. You'll keep me focused if you could, because I'm bothered by this, and I'm in a bit of a carb fog, so I may not be as succinct as I normally am, or even as clear. So I'm going to try to make it clearer if I can. First step, suicide. Suicides have gone from about 100 a day to about 125 a day, give or take. That's a lot. The percentage of veterans is higher. People are killing themselves. Okay, that's terrible. It is. Suicide is worse than any other death. And I'm not saying that as just something I'm saying. That's a fact. It's the worst. It's the worst for two reasons. Number one, suicide is contagious. Not making it up. Do your own homework if you think I'm making it up. That's true. When people see others commit suicide, it makes them feel like, why bother? And if you're on the edge, you want to commit suicide too. Suicide is literally contagious. On top of that, suicide doesn't end your pain. It transfers the pain to others. So when someone I care about dies, that's terrible. And I could blame fate. I could blame the truck that hit him. I could blame some, whatever. But when they commit suicide, I wind up blaming myself. I start saying, what could I have done? Why wasn't I there? Was I a bad friend, father, whatever, family member? And you do the same thing. If you've known someone's committed suicide, you've thought that. Is there something I could have done? You blame yourself. Suicide is the worst thing. There's no death worse. All death is bad. That's the worst of all. And on a horribleometer, that's the top of the horrible list. The top of the list. Growing in our country by 20 to 25% since the COVID lockdowns. The government, its actions have increased suicide. It has made more pain in our lives as Americans. So there are people now having a Thanksgiving or had one yesterday or having this weekend. And there's someone they don't have now. And they're fighting amongst themselves. And if you've been in this world, you know what I'm talking about. They're fighting with themselves right now. Yelling and screaming and having issues or not saying things with elephants in the room because someone they love is no longer here and took their own life. And someone's blaming somebody else and or not saying something or not showing up, whatever the case may be. That's happening. But I would rather them be in that room, upset with each other, trying to care about their family and put the pieces back together than not be together. And the government lockdowns have made so many Americans afraid to be together. Masking up kids while they're in at home, not wanting to talk to each other because someone's older or younger, whatever the case may be. So now out of when they've made the problem that's forced more suicides, and now the only way we can repair that is through us families getting together and working through those crappy issues and talking through the pain to try to make it easy, to try to heal in some way, shape, or form. Government says, no, that's dangerous because COVID. You can't do that. Don't do that. We locked you down, which increased the deaths. And now we should try to heal yourself. No, don't do that. That's wrong. That's bad. You're mean. You're selfish. So feel even worse about yourself that you're already feeling. Now the government tells you you're selfish if you want to get together with your loved ones and try to somehow put the pieces back together. Nope. You are selfish. I'll go further. Overdoses. Almost 300 per day in America now. 278, whatever that number is. It's over 250, right below 300 a day. That's happening right now. Now, when that happens, that's people who've given up, people who are failing. Now, why is that happening? Many reasons why that's happening. Many, many, many reasons. But let me give you a couple of them. Yeah, lockdowns. Why? When people are trying to recover, I know I had an addict in my life. Many of you have either been addicts or have addicts in your life, and you know what I'm going to say is true. When someone's trying to quit, whenever it is, what they need more than ever is support. If they're going to keep going, and sometimes an addict is just not ready to quit, and you know, again, if you've had this in your life, you know, sometimes they're not ready to quit. They're not going to quit. Doesn't matter what you do. They're not there. They're not going to quit. But when they're like, okay, I want to try to do this, they need support more than ever. If they have the right amount of support, whatever that is for them, and if you and family and friends can be there for that person trying to quit, they might actually quit. I know I've seen people do it, and many of you have seen people do it also. Never alone, always with lots of support. Lots and lots of support. That's what people need. So the government did, stay home by yourself. Don't see anybody. No support for you. Some people use groups like NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous. Some people use AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Some people use 12-step programs. Some people use church. Some people use their community center. Some people just use friends or whatever. They use whatever they can use, family, whatever it is, to now start to recover. That's gone. Don't have it anymore. It's gone. So they sit in their house. They had to come out, try to find somebody. As they're looking for somebody, what did they get? Different people. People put things like fentanyl in their drug. Yeah. And they overdose. And they overdose. And they die. 278, whatever the number is, every day. Dead. Gone. No chance of success. No chance to recover. I consider my life lucky in that regard. My mom recovered. My mom was one of the rare people who recovered and was clean her entire life at the end of her life. She recovered, never went back. Awesome. Awesome. One of the major reasons why, obviously her too, but also I was there all the time. I was her support structure. I was the guy there supporting her all the time. On the phone, in person, and with cash when I had it. Yep, I was the guy. And she had others too, but I was the heavy guy there. If you don't have support, you're not going to recover. I don't care how cool you might think you are. Without support, you're not recovering. Government said, no, you don't get to. You don't get to. And now when they finally get out, they go right back to the same people again because they have to. They can't go to church or family or community. We've lost that. So all the things we talk about, we don't have. Well, that's okay, Larry. Because not everybody is going to be committing suicide. Not everybody is an addict. That's true. That's true. But everybody needs a job. In their family, at least, right? If you want to be successful and happy, got to. If that wasn't true, if what I was saying was not true, if nobody required a job in your family to be successful, well, then everybody who's on public assistance would be super happy. I feel like that's not true. I think data would show that's not true, because a lot of people in public assistance work in the black market. And when you shut everybody down, called them non-essential, you increase the black market. So make more people fighting in the black market. Yeah, with no cops and no courts, which means street justice and street violence. That's where all the violence comes from. That's where it all comes from. Violence comes, massive violence where we have it, always comes from black market. Always. Here it is again. Black market in guns, as always, but even more now, because now we're locking more guns down. So we make more of a black market. That'll work. Black market in drugs. Been that way since we had the stupid drug war. Black market in that. But now there's black market in labor. Black market in lumber. Black market in food. Yeah. So now we can't even go to work because we're going to black market instead. And now kids are getting shot. So what does our government do? Oh, we're going to lock down more people, fight more, put more people in prison, do that. Because our goal has been on COVID. And talk about COVID if I could. COVID's real. Of course it is. But it's a massive thing we're just somehow forgetting. And let me be very forward. And I hope that some of you may be upset by this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The average person who dies of COVID is in their 70s. The average person who dies of violence in the streets is under 20. The average person who dies of suicide is in their 30s. The average person who dies of an overdose is in their 20s. Do we see a massive difference in those two? We have decided that we are going to sacrifice our youth for our elderly. Am I against someone young sacrificing their life for the elderly? No. Your life. Sacrifice for what you want, for when you want. You could argue going to war is sacrificing the young for the rest of the country. Yes, but they're volunteering and it's their life and they may do so if they want. I don't get to decide that. Who the hell am I to decide if you should sacrifice your life or not? I can decide myself. I can sacrifice my own life if I want to. That's my life. I don't get to decide if you sacrifice your life. But as a nation, we've decided to sacrifice the lives of the youth for the elderly. I would ask anyone here who would decide if they were elderly, you identify as you like. If you identify as elderly, would you want the youth to sacrifice their lives for you? Some of you may say yes. I would argue the vast majority of you would say no, particularly if you have younger people in your life and your family. You ask me, would I sacrifice my child for me? Never. Never. I think the vast majority of parents and grandparents would agree with me. Some would not, of course, but the vast majority, if they had a choice, you die or grandkid dies. Me, it's me, I'll go. No worries, take me. I think most would say that. Some wouldn't. But whether they would or they wouldn't, whatever the case may be, who am I to make that decision? I'm not anybody who should make the decision. You should. It's your life the way you decide. So we're watching our youth be destroyed, wondering why they don't care. They don't buy anything. Wondering why they don't have an ownership mindset. Wondering why their work ethic is bad. As we completely dismiss them and act like they don't even matter. And then when things don't go well, we get mad at them. And we lock them down and make them suffer. Even worse, family, church, community, jobs, all these things is what matters. And all we focused on is unnecessary culture war, shutting people down here, canceling them there, and COVID. Those have been our priorities. It's like the entire ship is sinking and we're repainting the deck on the Titanic. I mean, it looks good. You repaint the deck, does, polish it all up, get the band to play some nice music, sounds good, I like it, but the ship's still going down. Our ship is going down, and we're polishing the deck, painting the walls. There's a big hole at the bottom, iceberg just hit, and water's pouring in. Let's paint the walls. What we're going to look back at, and I said this a year and a half ago, we have to figure out how to survive with COVID, with any disease, with any disease. We didn't do that. We did knee-jerk reaction and punished everybody. And we're paying a price now, and now we're doubling down. The average American in this country has decided COVID's finished. It's over. I see them all the time. I'm crossing New York State. I cross the country. The average American has said, COVID's done. I don't care what the government says. It's over. And if we all say it's over, then it's over. Other countries have said so. Singapore is like, done, don't care, over. Norway, done, don't care, it's over. They're done. They've just decided it's over. And they're going to get live their lives. Sweden always said it was over. Like, we're going to live our lives. So countries have already done so. We're the ones with massive deaths, meaning suicides, and drug overdoses. We are being slaughtered by drug overdoses, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow. What is our answer? More cops? End the drug wars? End the police state? End the lockdowns? I'm going to say something that sounds so insanely simple. So insanely simple. But it acts like, I feel like no one's going to get this. The answer is freedom. I know I'm a libertarian saying that. It sounds crazy, but I've been saying it forever. Let us go. Leave us alone. Unlock us down. We should have never done this in the first place. It's nothing but bad. It's just getting worse. Everything the politicians say they value, family, church, and, you know, I kneel for the cross and stand for the flag and care about family and community. All the things they say, all of their policies are exactly the opposite. Crush all of those things. And the only movement, the only party, the only group of people who've been actively fighting them have been libertarians. That's it. Democrats, Republicans have not. If you say, I'm a Democrat, I care about civil liberties. Maybe you do personally. That's possible. Your party doesn't. I'm Republican. I care about American community. Maybe you do personally, but your party doesn't. I don't know. You may or may not. I don't know. But your party does not. There is zero evidence that that's true. The evidence I see is everybody going along and crushing it all. I don't see anybody. I don't see one governor, not one, saying, you know what? Why don't we just end? Why don't we just end the war on drugs? All I hear is, let's fight harder. Let's fight harder. Let me grab some comments. I'm a little bit bothered, but here's the good news. Let me wrap this up on a little bit of good news, if I could. The good news is, we're finally tired of it. And I said this, if you remember, if some of you might remember this, I was in South Dakota at Freedom Fest. And they said, what are we going to see next year at this time? And I said, by next year, and this was last summer, summer of 2021. I said, by next year, this time, summer of 2022, I said, we're going to be tired of this stuff. I said, the lockdowns and stuff be finished. I said, we're going to be done. We simply can't keep doing this. It'll be over. They're like, oh my God, really? Yes, it will be over. It will be over. There is no way that this will still exist. As humans, we won't. We just will not take it at one point. And we're almost there, right? Some cities are still being stupid and doing some lockdowns. People are physically packing up and leaving. They're just packing up and going away. They're pulling their kids out of school. They're just saying, no, I don't care. They're just walking away. That's the good news. That part is awesome. So let me grab a couple of comments. I'm sure you guys are going to be giving me a bunch of interesting things. I appreciate that. Yes. All right. Let's see if I can do this here. Dan says, yes, Larry time. Best part of my day. I'll be at your event in Cobbleskill December 5th. Excellent, Dan. I hope to see you there. It'd be awesome. Yes. Let's see. Lizzie Warren says turkey is expensive because the greedy corporations are gouging customers to keep their stocks high. Doesn't she have like a 76% ROI on stocks? Let me bring this up, Craig. There are two parts of this. Some of that is true. There is a piece of that that's true. And let me explain where she's up. She's extrapolating from a kernel that's true. Everything's so expensive because people are saying, why go back to work? I'm not going back to work. I'm not doing this anymore. People are actually realizing that quality of life matters. And you may laugh and go, well, it's because they're getting the extra money. That too. But the extra money is going away. The extra money was gone a couple of months ago. October, I think, was the last when the extra money went away. So the extra money is gone and people still aren't going back to work because they realize that quality of life matters. I agree. I want a high quality of life too. I haven't had a job, a regular job in, I don't know, 20 years now, whatever, almost 18 years. And I like my quality of life the way I have it. And people want that. So they're deciding that. That's number one. The second thing is they know, they realize as so many people left that now businesses need them. So now people are going, you know what? I'll go back only when you give me what I want, which I'm not against at all. I hate the fact that government spurred this more than us spurring it ourselves. I think labor should react in the market like anything else and say, you know what? I don't want to go to work unless you give me X, Y, and Z. My issue with this part is that should have been happening for the past 30 years so that we can have a gradual growth in everything and the market can respond easier to people wanting higher wages and valuing labor more. I don't have a problem with that at all, right? That's normal. My problem is government created a shock in the system, which makes it hard for everybody, and then inflation explodes. Again, I don't have a problem with people having more money. You should negotiate for your salary. I hope you guys are all super valuable and negotiate for salary. No worries about that whatsoever. So that's one reason why stuff is getting more expensive, right? Which also affects the shutdowns, affected everything, of course. And as a shutdown, some people who were saving money now began spending it all of a sudden faster. Cars and trucks and stuff weren't being built and weren't being taken care of. So that's coming to rush out. So all of that affects it all. But on top of that, mostly the people who are punished by that are smaller companies. They're the ones who are hit the worst. The larger companies could absorb it and then decide, you know what, let me fix this up and let me start raising my prices. If you're now an Amazon or someone like that, some of those large corporations, they are raising their prices. So are oil companies and such. They are, because now we're accustomed to the gas prices shooting up. We are. So if they were going to make their normal, I'm making this up, I have no idea what their profit margin is, but for the sake of argument, Craig, they make 14% on every gallon of gas that they sell, whatever that number is. I made that up. I have no idea what the number is. We'll do 16%. Who's going to notice? And they're right. So some of the larger companies have been doing that, and it makes sense for them. I don't like it, but I get it. If I know you'll still buy my gas at $4.55, we'll do $4.75. You're not going to notice. And they're right. You're not. Because it's shooting up so high, a couple of cents here and then the average person doesn't notice. So there is a part of that. Larger corporations are doing some price gouging, if you want to call it gouging. They're trying to make up for the losses that they took during their lockdowns. Now, when it comes to places like Amazon didn't take your losses during that time. Amazon made a killing during those times, right? So on a case of an Amazon, they're making money. And Exxon, our oil company, they might have taken some losses because people weren't traveling as much. So they're making up for losses. But like Amazon, they're not making up for losses. They're like, oh, so you'll buy socks for $4.99? We'll do it for $5.25. You won't notice. And they're right. Delivery services, the Grubhubs and Seamless of the world. You'll pay $2 for delivery. You'll pay $2.50. And they're doing that. So that is happening. So that part that is true, she's extrapolating and making it bigger than it is and acting like it's the only thing. It is not the only thing. It is happening. It's a small part of what's happening. And it doesn't happen if the other things don't happen first. So the other things happen first. And they said, oh, talking about opportunity, let's take it. So I hope that was clear when I explained that piece. So yes. All right. Shelly says, I just asked David Clemens to interview you. Thank you. The link is an interview on a Christian YouTube channel, but it gave me the opportunity to ask him an interview. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope he responds. Suicide is contagious. I know. It's sad, and it is. And I remember when I first saw that, I was in high school. A friend of mine, a girl who I was close with, who I liked a lot. We were friends, never romantic. We were friends, though. I liked her a lot. If I remember right, her brother committed suicide. And then right after that, her mother did. And then she was considering it. And I was like, Jesus, wow. Now, I already lost my father. My father didn't die of suicide. My father died of cancer. So again, I could blame cancer. I could blame fate. I could blame whatever I wanted to blame or just say I was just unlucky or whatever. I had someone else to point the finger at when my father died. I had someone else to blame or some other thing to blame when my father died as a kid. She didn't. She didn't. Then her mom went too. Jesus, man, that's got to be hard. It totally is. So, yes. All right. Let's see here. Christopher says, wonder if these services that so many of these people use for mental health are considered non-essential services by Emperor Hochul. This is another thing, right? Am I against the fact that the government has services? I'm not against that fact. What I'm against is, or my problem is, that that's our answer. A government employee or government worker is not by default bad. Not by default bad. But a community person who's been through it is always going to be better. On average, right? Over time, always going to be better. So we wound up not having any of those. And what the government answer is, you saw it. If you watched my Wednesdays with Kathy, her answer is the same thing. Our emperor says, our empress always says the same thing. Our Queen Kathy says the same thing that King Cuomo said, which is, we'll just make more government programs. We'll just make more government programs. Government broke it. Government will just keep breaking it. And that's always the answer versus trying to get other people to help. So, yes. I think it's Kerry. I hope I'm saying that right. My little brother died by suicide last year. I am so sorry to hear that. Suicide is the worst. The government decided his business was non-essential and he lost it. And he spotted from there. I would give anything to have him back. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Your little brother died. Let me make sure I say this correctly if I can. The government policies have caused so many horrible, unnecessary deaths. And if you lost your grandma or your grandfather or someone like that in a nursing home, that's terrible. I would hate for you to lose someone you love. But if they were in a nursing home, and please say it's the right way. I hope you're taking it the right way when I say it. You were kind of ready for it, if that makes any sense. You could hold on. You could be ready for it. You were preparing for it. It's terrible. But the impact is not devastating. It hurts. No one wants to lose someone like that. But they're in a nursing home. They also know their time is near, right? They get it. I know. I've had two parents take 2 years to die of cancer. And at one point, they knew the time was near. And it's better for everybody when that happens. We know the time is near. The smash, the punch is nowhere near as hard. When someone young, someone who's running a business, when they take their own life, that's a kick in the stomach that just keeps kicking. Just keeps kicking. Because it feels like it's not natural, like it shouldn't have happened, like it was preventable. And the reason is, it shouldn't have happened. It isn't natural. And it was preventable. An 85-year-old person nursing home, they were going to go. We know it's natural. We're supposed to bury the people above us. My kids will bury me one day. I hope. I don't ever want to bury my kids. I hope my kids will bury me one day. That's supposed to happen. They'll hate it when I die, but they get it. That's what's going to happen. You got to bury your little brother. Were mom and dad around when that happened? Did they bury their kid? Because government decided that he was going to lose. Because, I don't know, COVID or whatever? I don't know. You said you would give anything to have him back. I don't know if his parents are alive or not. If your parents are alive, I can guarantee you they would have sacrificed their life for him. They knew. Mom and dad had to make a choice. Grandma, grandpa had to choose. If grandma and grandpa are still around, I don't know where your family is. If they knew, if they could somehow magically say, no, he comes back, take me. Guarantee you. Take me. Bring him back. Of course they would. Of course they would. If you guys are watching me, I said this before. All of this stuff, all the problems we're having, the fights we're having right now, all because government lockdowns. All. You can't protest all night long when you got to go to work 9 o'clock in the morning. But when you shut down, you're not essential. You got time. Let's protest. Let's protest all night long. Let's do it. Whether you're upset about the protests in the summer last year, or if you protest about, you're upset about January 6th, whatever you're unhappy about, none of that happens without lockdowns. Doesn't happen. None of it does. George Floyd doesn't die. It's in the lockdowns. George Floyd had a job. He lost that job because lockdowns. Now, do I know if George Floyd would have cleaned his life up? I have no idea. Here's what I do know. He had a job and was clean during that job. That we know because he was drug tested. So we know that. So at one point, he was clean. Would he have stayed clean? I don't know. Here's what I do know. He lost his job, went right back to drugs. So I know that happened. He didn't go back to drugs. He's working, and he's not in that store dropping fake $20 bills. he doesn't get killed that day. George Floyd died that day because of government lockdowns. All those protests, all destruction from the protests and the riots, because government lockdowns. January 6th, government lockdowns. All of that, government lockdowns. Your little brother's death, government lockdowns. Yes. And what does the government still want to do? More lockdowns. What's their response? Nothing. I'm sorry for your loss. I hope you're able to heal over this 4 days with your family. So, David says, Craig Miles, profit equals evil. except when it's paying your bills. I don't know. Yes. Yes. Warren says, but the government's here to help. You know what? I'd like the government to just solve problems when we ask them to solve problems, meaning like lawsuits, criminal stuff, cops and courts. I'm in. The rest? David says, when people are locked down and they're away from their family and friends, they will find new friends like drugs and alcohol. David, yes. And I don't know what your background is, but you don't have to have a master's degree in psychology to figure that one out. Yeah. What other people don't realize is when you go to drug houses, that's community. Again, I don't know how many of you have an addict in your life or were an addict yourself. Shooting up is very often a community thing. It is. It's a place where people get together and don't judge you for your habit. They don't judge you for your failures because you're all together in the same room, snorting or shooting or drinking or whatever is the thing you're doing. You're all doing it together. Who are you to judge? I'm going to judge you about shooting up while I'm shooting up. I'm not judging you. You're not judging me. All of a sudden now, that's my new friends. I can't go back anyplace else. Here's the worst part. What about if I'm addicted and I'm accustomed to doing it with friends? And now I can't because I can't leave my house. Am I going to get deeper into trouble? Yeah. Am I going to get worse friends? Yeah. I'm going to take whatever friend I can get. The friend that doesn't care about me at all and puts fentanyl on my stuff and sells me fentanyl because he just wants the money so he can go shoot up. Yeah, everything's worse. You are correct. Yes. All right. All right. Let's see here. I guess you are a doctor. I'm sorry. Or maybe medical professional. Kyra says, so many of my patients who were taking addiction management medications relapsed last year between being isolated, being unstable, and having trouble getting appointments with the doctors. It sucked. Yes. And the worst part is now people like you who are trying to help them, now you feel helpless. You feel worse too because you want to help them and you can't because the system shuts you down. Yes. And you're saying, I want to help. No, you can't. None of them can. Yes. All right. Donna says, if it saves one life when they have never cared about that before, tobacco is still legal. Yep. It was selfish during the whole time and lived my life. Yeah, I was selfish during the whole time and lived my life. Yes. You know, if it saved one life, well, wait a minute. How about all the lives you destroyed by locking people up? Your lockdowns killed people too. And worse, it killed the youth. Worse, killed the youth. So, yes. Shelley goes, we allowed our elderly to be locked down in nursing homes, and our governor made sure they got COVID. Ooh. Let me go to that part, Shelley. Let me go to that part too. If you're someone who's elderly, I'm even retired, super tired, because you don't have to be elderly, you should be retired. The vast majority of people who passed away from COVID were 65 or older. So if you're 65 or older, you're in a tough spot for COVID. COVID is like the plague if you're in that demographic, particularly if you have a pre-existing condition. With that in mind, it is still your life. If the government says, go sit in your nursing home and don't see anybody because you might die. Who's decide what value your life has but you? What if you are someone who's 75 years old, you're in a nursing home, and you really want to see your grandchildren? That matters to you, right? Some people care a lot, some don't, but that matters to you. So the government says, no, you can't, because they might give you COVID. You go, I don't care if they give me COVID. I don't want to sit here for 2 years and not see my family and maybe die anyway because I'm old. I got some other existing condition that might kill me anyway. And I don't get to see my loved ones before I die. I'd rather see them and die. If that's how you feel, who am I to tell you no? So Shelly, the worst part about your friend, you know, in a facility, whether it was a nursing home, rehab visit, whatever it is that maybe your friend wanted to see people before he or she died. Maybe they wanted to say goodbye. Maybe now there's no closure for that person and their death or the people who love that person. For the person who's older and you're trying to save them for tomorrow, they may not believe they have a tomorrow. They may not have a tomorrow. I don't know their world. And even if they do have a tomorrow, even if they don't know about tomorrow, it's their life. And if I want to bring my child to go, and I'll give you an exact, I've told this story before, but I'll say it again because it fits perfectly. My mother, when she was dying of cancer, she was on chemo. This is before COVID. She passed away many years ago, about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. So she passed away then. She wanted to see my daughter, her granddaughter, right? Knowing that having a kid around her, better chance she might get some because kids go out, do stuff with other kids, whatever. She knew that. She's like, I don't care, I'm going. She wanted it. She took my daughter and stayed, and my daughter stayed with her for several months. It was the end. There wasn't a tomorrow. You spend time with your granddaughter, or you never spend time with your granddaughter. Those two choices, right? So she said, no, I want to do it. She took my granddaughter out to an amusement park. The doctor said, look, you're on chemo. Your immune system shot. This could kill, you get something, you get pneumonia, you could die. And my mom was like, I don't care. She wore that M95 mask, whatever that mask was. She wore that. She said, I'm going out. And if I get some, I get some. When I come back, then I die. She's like, I don't care, then I die. If I don't get a chance to spend time with my grandkids, I don't want to live. And this really happened in my family, my mom, years before COVID. It's still the same thing. Your friend, Shelly, should have decided what your friend wanted. But Larry, people might die. People might always die. It doesn't change the principles of life. It doesn't change the principle of life. No one stopped me when I joined the Marine Corps. I might have died. I didn't, but I might have. Other guys who went over there, guys over there, lost their arms and legs, are blown to pieces, come home with half the pieces still laying in Iraq somewhere, in Afghanistan somewhere. Did you stop them? Did you stop them from doing it? And when they came home, treat them like garbage. Did you stop them? That was fine. Anyway, I'm sorry. Keep moving. Warren says, the lockdowns really impacted me. I lost my support group at the VA and Circus Veteran. Bingo. I was making headway with my PTSD at Behavioral Health until they shut down in-person visits. Luckily, I found a new outlet in Manlius that helped change my life. So I found a good way that the lockdowns led me to a better path without government help. Thank you, my friend. Perfect example. Perfect example. Thank you. Yes. Whew. Okay. Let me chill a little bit. I'm a little bit upset here. I apologize. Yes. Alex says, calm down, Joe Rogan. I know I'm getting a little upset here. I'm sorry. Okay. Let me calm myself down. You're right. You're right, Alex. You're right. I'm going to calm down. Yes. Dave says, how about promoting health? Generally speaking, people don't know how to take care of themselves. Yes. The one of the worst parts, Dave, you brought this up. The idea of trying to be healthier. Again, I was in the Marine Corps in the 80s. In the 80s, we were worried about nuclear and biological and chemical attacks. It's called NBC, for those of you who don't know. And they would talk to us about how to try to defend yourself against a tactical nuke strike to see if you could survive, to get back up and get out of there, decontamination techniques. Obviously, you're in a blast path, you're dead. But if you're not, how do you get rid of the – how do you, you know, help yourself from not getting a piece of radiation on you from the fallout? They gave us all these tips and tricks on how to do this, survive, get back to the condemnation center to survive to the best of your ability. If there's a chemical weapon, how to use your chemical gear, whether it's a spray attack or whatever, gas attack, whatever, how to deal with those, first aid, all those things. And biological, some of those too, but the most important thing I ever said was be healthy. I'm not joking. That's the Marine Corps said. Healthy, healthy, healthy. The best your immune system can be, as healthy as you can be, that's your best defense against a biological weapon. What's a biological weapon? A virus. That's what it is. It's a virus. Just a planned attack virus is what it is. So be healthy. That's not even a thing. You can't even say that. Bill Maher talks about this all the time. Bill Maher is becoming so libertarian. That streak of his is screaming out. I'm not complaining. I'm happy. I hope he goes even further. Keep coming, Bill. Keep coming. I'm happy. My hand is out. I'll pull you as far as I can over here. Come on, man. Don't stop. But even he's coming that way. He's like, what's going on? We're not talking about all the health issues. I completely agree. This would have been the perfect time to talk about health. If you remember what I said in March of 2020, coming up soon on 2 years, over a year and a half ago, I said, if you spend more time getting people thinking about their health, they will be healthier, have a better chance of being safe. This and the next one, right? So let's start thinking about your own individual health more and more and more. Every little bit counts. Of course it does. You're totally correct. Yes. All right. All right. Missy says, support the show. But yes, Missy, thank you. You are correct. Please like, comment, share. I say it all the time. Please do it. I know I bug you. It does matter. Please do it. The more you do it, the better chance I can break this shadow ban they keep giving me. Please do it. I hope you would do so. Also, support our sponsors. Go take the world's smallest political quiz. That's the link right there. Click that link and share it. Let everyone see it. Talking about real issues, having those conversations about real issues. And here's the best part. Head over there and click the single issue surveys. There's a bunch of single issue surveys, like 7 or 8 of them. Take one of them, whichever one you want. There's a bunch of stuff on police. There's stuff on First Amendment. There's stuff on censorship. All types of stuff on there. Pick the one you like. Take it and then share it. It does nothing but help. It gets people thinking about these issues, having real conversations. If you got family and friends over for this weekend, maybe have some real conversation, not just yelling left and right. And whether you hate or love the lockdowns, you can talk about actual stuff. Of course, if you want to support me running across this state, we got a money bomb going on. It was going till Black Friday, but my team said move it up till Giving Tuesday. So now moving to Giving Tuesday, I just sit here. I do what they say. I head over to LarrySharp.com/20K. We have a $20,000 match. If we can raise $20,000, we get $20,000. So it means 40 total, right? Raise 20, get 20. People ask why. It's because when I'm trying to cultivate new large donors, and they want to know, Larry, are you real or are you just some guy who talks trash? Man, I do talk trash. That's true. But I need to be more than just some guy who talks trash. Can you get people behind you to raise money? And if I do raise money and people get behind me, they go, wow, this guy's real. They write me a check. For someone who can write a check for $20,000, they're investing in me. They're not just giving. They're investing in someone. I think they can move the ball forward. I'm trying to move the ball forward. Help me out if you can. I would appreciate it. That and or free. World's Most Little Quiz, like, comment, and share. That's all free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Either way, it does help. Thank you. So, all right, let's see if I can keep doing this here. Eric says, and the bull they give you about science and health. Lol. Here, take this experimental medicine. If you do, here's a 6-pack of beer or a cheeseburger meal. yes, Eric, you're right. It's almost as if they don't want us to take responsibility for anything locally. And they don't. They don't. Everything someone else has to give you, a pill or an answer or a program or something. Nothing is done locally. Nothing is done even down to the most local, you. Absolutely, I agree. Yes, 100%. I completely agree. So this is a problem that we have and it's common. We have to fix it. Chad says, and overprocessed food. Yes, yes, and yes, absolutely. Look, am I saying you shouldn't have a cheeseburger once in a while? No, I don't. Look, I'm not the doctor in chief. I'm not trying to apply for a doctor in chief role. I'm not. But my view, my personal view, take it for whatever you want. You can have stuff in moderation, I would assume. I mean, maybe not. Maybe cheeseburgers are evil. I don't eat cheeseburgers, but this doesn't matter. The next thing is, it doesn't matter what I like and what makes me happy. It's what makes you happy and what you like. If you like cheeseburgers, eat cheeseburgers sometimes, right? If you don't, no, but let me walk down this road for a second. Again, a personal piece. I rarely eat carbs. I've been on the keto lifestyle forever. Some people think that's a bad idea. Maybe they're right. Maybe. But for 11 years, I've been healthy and had energy. You guys see the amount of energy I have and what I do and how I go through this stuff. You've watched me run around this. I'm in my 50s. And I'm still doing this stuff. So maybe I just have lucky genes, or maybe my diet's helping me. Does that mean my diet is right for you? No, it means my diet is right for me. That's what it means. It is right for me. You should have your own diet the way you think is appropriate. Fine, mine works for me. But even so, I like soda. I do. It's a terrible thing. I should not like it. Soda is not good for you. No one thinks, man, you know what's good for you? Soda. No one thinks that. So I rarely drink it. But yesterday I had soda, and today I had soda because I like it. And I'm taking a couple of days off because it's Thanksgiving. So I drank some Pepsi. I think some Coke too. I forgot one of the two, but I drank some soda because I like it. I had ice cream yesterday with chocolate syrup. I know some of you are getting hungry, but for me, that's a big deal because I have ice cream like once or twice a year. It's rare for me to eat ice cream. I don't eat carbs much in general. If you've watched me go around, it's super rare to eat any carbs, but here or there. Ice cream is a big deal for me, but I had some. Should you eat ice cream every day? You probably shouldn't. But who's talking about that? I don't know where I was going with this, but I guess you just got me going, Chad. I got to chill. Yes. Desiree says, I'm glad to finally see people waking up and speaking out. Agreed. This, I think, of all the negative things that have happened, this one is the silver lining, is that people understand that local matters and they're paying attention. I agree. So it says Kobel skill. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Did I say Kobel skill? Ouch. Yes, it is Kobel skill. I actually knew it was Kobel skill, but I screwed up. You're right. It is Kobel skill. Thank you. Thank you for that one. New York State has. Yes. Thank you. Kobel skill. Absolutely. Shelly L says, pardon two turkeys. The extra turkey driven down prices. Very cute. Yes. Steve says, I've seen and heard reports from some parts of the country where prices are double and supplies were extremely low or even non-existent. Yes, this is happening all over the place. Yes, 100%. We ordered ours from, I forgot where. My wife didn't go buy it. She actually ordered it and it came in the mail. I know, crazy. But yeah, she ordered it. It actually worked. So yeah. But then again, look. The prices are higher than the market decides. Maybe it's time to have a ham this day. Maybe it is, right? Maybe it was. So, yes. Michelle Ann says, where was turkey expensive? I was here was 49 pounds, and with an app, I got a butterball that was $18? Was it 18 months? I'm not sure what you're saying here, Michelle. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, yeah. But anyway, not expensive in Western New York, she says. Here, not in Western New York, there were tons and cheap. There we go. All right. So if I keep going here. Sam says, the lockdowns and all government crazy policy stems from altruism. The idea that someone knows the greater good and then forces you to apply their idea. Freedom plus responsibility is the key. Yes and yes. I worry about the idea of altruism, though. I feel like it's more than that. I'm going to go with a yes and on this one. It's not just altruism. It's also the reverse of what you just said, freedom and plus responsibility. There are a lot of people who don't want responsibility and who have been raised to not take it, right? Many people have been raised that it's always someone else's fault. Mommy and daddy will always protect you. It's not your fault. We'll always help you. Which means it's not your responsibility. We'll always make it better. And if you don't know how to take responsibility or aren't accustomed to it, then freedom becomes scary. So why would I want that? When I can let the government be in charge, it's their fault. And they care about us. It's altruistic. So see, I'm altruistic. So I care about the government. And now it all becomes okay. So then my bad behavior becomes validated. I think it's what you said, Sam, and more is my point. I think it's both or all three. So the juggling junk remover says people need community, whether it's drugs, motorcycle gang, church, etc. Yes, we do. You know, I would like it to be family. That would be nice, but some of us can't have that or don't have that. I don't want that. And that's fine. But that should be a good option for most of us, right? That's important. Yes. All right. Paula says, I have heard on good authority that these nursing home patients with COVID were not even allowed near a window. Oh, that's horrible. God, I don't want to hear that. Wow. Wow, I don't want to hear that. Yeah. All right, keep moving. Yes. Donna says, another problem for recovering people now is a lot of churches that allowed meetings or requiring groups get insurance with COVID clauses, which many groups can't afford. Yes. So now you have to, they make it harder. Thank you for bringing this up, Donna. Problems happening, not just these issues I mentioned, right? Obviously these, but now they're making it harder for people to join communities because there are restrictions on the community spaces or places. So now when you need community more than ever, because they've sucked and they put your community away, now when you try to get back, they make it harder. Now let's move to this next thing, the turkeys and the expensive and what Chris was talking about, the inflation, all the high prices. Well, why are there high prices? There's high price and inflation because there's more money compared to goods and services. Again, Econ 101, you all figured this out. You don't have to have degrees and master's degrees in economics to figure this one out. That's the reason why. So how do you shift that, right? Well, you either make less money. That's option one. You create less money, somehow remove money from the market, somehow option one. Or make money more expensive, right? Any of those things, make money more expensive or remove money, right? That's option one. That's one side. Well, the other side, create more goods and services and stop increasing the amount of money. And you can now balance inflation out, right? This is, again, 101. So now what should we be doing? We should be getting people to now work more, create more to balance inflation. What have we done? Made barriers to working. Mandates here, mandates there, can't work here, can't work there. Now you're fired. So now we've made working harder. So what we need more than anything is people getting together, having community, made that harder, and people back in the workforce, creating more work, creating more services, creating more products, and made that harder. Government at its best, making mistakes and then slowing down the recovery. Making mistakes and then slowing down the recovery. Insane. Insane. All right. Akira says, last year, my 91-year-old grandma said, to hell with COVID, we're still having family holidays. Yes. Because maybe your grandma found value in that. Community and love and respect and value in family holidays. Who am I to tell her she's wrong? Nobody. I'm some dude. That's all I am. I'm some dude. And guess what? Everybody who would tell your grandma that is just some dude. No one has the right to tell your grandma anything else. That's it. And the example I'll give you again, I'll give you a personal one. I had two people in my life who are over 85 and have pre-existing conditions. Both of them are active churchgoers. My family's a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. We don't go to church that much. My wife and I don't go. We're much more Easter and Christmas Christians. But those two people who are older in my life, they are active. They go often. They're active churchgoers. And I said to both of them separately, when COVID hit, I was scared because they were right over 85, pre-existing conditions. And I said, I would like you guys to not go. Because I think if you go and you get caught, I think COVID's going to kill you. I was very forward. I wasn't those exact words, but I was very forward and I expressed what I thought. I was happy that neither of them went. One of them kind of challenged me back and said, well, then you need to help me. And literally, I think I told some of you, I actually showed you pictures. I have a car in New York City. A lot of people don't have cars. So I was driving to their home, delivering goods to his house, dropping them off with canalized all masked up, gloved up, dropping stuff off every week. I was dropping it off. So he said, I'm not doing that. You must do that. I said, deal. Yes, I'll do it. So literally I was doing that. And to be forward though, if either of them had said, I still want to go, will you drive me? I would have said yes. I would have driven them. Even though I didn't want them to, I would have done it because it's their life. Not mine. I don't want them to die. I love them, part of my family. And I still would have driven them if they had asked me to. I'm very happy they did not. but I would have, because it is their life. And I'm with you and your grandma. She says so, I'm in. And that's personal for me. So you know where I stand and what I think. That's where I was. So anyway, I'm sorry. I'll keep going. All right. Paula says, I feel like the government's just itching for more lockdowns. I think some of these governors got a taste of absolute power and they liked it. Maybe, Paula, but there's another thing that they have to realize. I feel like they're going to have to somehow justify this lockdown stuff, right? And this is it's hard to come back from this, right? They spent so much time doubling down and the lockdowns were correct and they were righteous and everything was right and the world's going to end if we don't. How do you come back from it? But now that America is getting tired of it, going, no, I just want to go to work, or, you know, I just want to have family meetings. I don't care. Then I'll die. Just leave me alone. We don't care anymore. I just saw my younger brother die, or my cousin die, or my friend get killed, or, you know, suicide. I don't care anymore. Just let me live. That's happening. And as that begins to happen, they're going to have to somehow back out, or they're going to lose their seats. And all government people do hate losing power. Boy, they hate that. That's the one thing that may change their minds. So that's it. Joel says, if we get Medicare for all, or universal health care, or single payer health care, or whatever they call it, we'll have mandatory anything they say. Yes. Joel, thank you. Yes. There is another reason why I hate mandates. Clearly, the libertarian in me hates it, but there's another reason why I hate it. A non-libertarian reason why I hate it. What mandates do is they encourage two types of very bad thinking. They encourage blind obedience and they encourage blind rebellion. Both of those are bad. I'm not against you being obedient to whatever group or person or organization that you feel is appropriate. People are often obedient to their parents, to their churches, to their civic groups, to their codes they create. That's fine. You can be obedient to anything you choose to be obedient to. Being obedient is not a bad thing. Blind obedience is terrible, and it encourages this. Rebellious. Blind rebellion is terrible. Rebellion is not. You can rebel against whatever you think is not good for you. It's not good for you. Rebel. But rebelling for the sake of rebelling? Not healthy either, right? The blind part is the part I hate, and mandates encourage both. They encourage blind rebellion and blind obedience. Both are a terrible idea. Another reason why I can't stand the universal, single payer. Another reason why I don't like those. Yes, I agree. Yes. All righty. Let's see here. The New York Clip says, Larry, hope you had a happy, healthy Thanksgiving with the fam. Anyways, which type of libertarian you locked horns? Anyways, which type of libertarian you locked horns on which issue? Libertarian is not some monolithic homogenous club like critics claim. I'm not sure what you're saying there, but I lock horns with people all the time, but that's not true. People disagree with me all the time. I don't lock horns. I just go, okay, and walk away. They get mad at me. It is very rare that I respond. I don't know if you noticed that. It's rare. I don't even debate libertarians. I don't fight that. It's not worth it, right? I'm gonna fight with a libertarian because we disagree on 2% of something. So he or she wants to go 9 steps down. I want to go 6 steps down. Or I want to go 12 steps down. They want to go 4 steps down. It's fine. We're in the same direction. It's not worth a fight. We'll have a conversation, just not worth the fight. And so it's very rare that you see me do that. Absolutely. So Stephen says, live simply, simply love, love liberty, let Larry lead. Ooh, I like that. I like that, Stephen. Let's do more of that. Yeah, let's do more of that. Absolutely. So Shelley says, imagine that the government mandated any other medical procedures, facelifts, abortions, amputations, organ donations, etc. Well, the facelift part's kind of cool. I'm joking. We could all get angry a little bit. We could all do that. Yes. But no, your point is true. And, you know, in certain countries, abortions are mandated. So can amputations be. Yes. Organ donations too. That's not crazy. Not crazy. So Chris is breaking. Kathy Hochul literally just issued a state of emergency to address the Omicron variant. Is that right? Oh, geez. I got to figure. Okay, let's go figure. Oh, wow. All right, that'll go. I hope that's a mistake. I hope you've somehow misunderstood something, Craig. I hope that's not true. Is that the new one? God. I hope that's not true. Hold on. I'm going to check right now. Hold on. I'm going to literally do something I rarely do. I rarely stop and look for stuff. I am going to look right now because you said so. I'm going to hope you're wrong, Craig. I'm hoping you're wrong. Oh, no, you're right. God damn it. You're right. So now we have an executive order allowing hospitals to limit non-essential procedures. So when they limit non-essential procedures, this means more people will die because now you're not getting screenings. The hospitals are not making money. And we're already telling people in New York State, we're firing them because they won't get vaccinated. So now we're doing this. Jesus Christ. This is... Why are you right, Craig? I think I'm blaming you. Craig, it's your fault. I'm teasing you, Craig. Hold on. Let me pop this up real fast so we can... Let's all watch it together. How about that? We'll watch it together and we can all vomit together. Let's not vomit, but you know what? We'll all want to vomit together. So I'm going to do it right now. Thanks, Craig. Your fault.
Coming in the past couple of minutes here, Governor Kathy Hochul just declared a state of emergency in New York. This is ahead of that new COVID variant of concern, which is centered around South Africa right now.
See that? It's centered around South Africa right now. So I'm scared.
Now, it's important to note at this point, it has not been found in New York, but the governor says it's coming. Now, experts say the...
That's right. I forgot. The governor speaks to God. Our governor, she said her words, right? She speaks to God. So I guess God told her it's coming from South Africa, coming right to New York. So that's that.
Reinfection risk is very high. So on Monday, the U.S. has announced it will restrict travel from 8 African nations. Okay. Health officials say that the Omicron variant has 50 mutations, and there are some worries 50? That it could escape immunity. A lot of questions.
So could, I want to be clear with this, could escape immunity, could, so maybe it does, possible, could escape immunity in South Africa, not in New York right now. So what's the right move? State of emergency. Shut hospitals down. Makes total sense. Knee-jerk reaction right away. Knee-jerk right away. Let's not learn from our last mistakes. Let's just triple down. Or we could learn and say, you know what? Let's let people know what's happening, give them real information, let them make decisions, and start fixing our world to where we can survive. There's going to be more variants. There are going to be more viruses is our answer. And I was joking when I said this a year and a half ago. Is our answer to shut down every time there's a new virus? Clearly, yes. Yes, that is our answer. Every time there's a virus, if I am our enemies, if I'm Iran, if I'm China, if I'm Russia, whoever the enemy of the day is. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I get America? I know I'll build nuclear weapons. Why? That's dangerous and crazy and expensive. I'll make some massive plot. No, you won't. I'll just make another variant and they'll shut themselves down to shut themselves. Because what has happened with this COVID lockdown? We've destroyed our economy. We've broken our youth. And worse, we've created a divide among us so deep with blind rebellion and blind obedience to our side or against the other side, that now we don't even believe our own elections. Now we don't trust any of our own institutions. Our country is falling apart because of this garbage. And our answer is, let's do more of that. What could go wrong? Let's put all of the nails in the coffin and finish us off.
Questions still with this. Now, meanwhile, on Long Island, some of the 200 kids who participated in a clinical trial for the COVID vaccine are now fully vaccinated. Want to get out to News 4's Greg Sergel live in Comac with the latest on that. Greg.
So now they're like, let's get all the kids vaccinated, because that's the problem. Over 80% of all the deaths of COVID are people 65 and older. Of the 700 and some odd thousand dead from COVID, who knows how many are actually from COVID, but sake of argument, less than 1,000 are under 18, like 500 or something like that, under 18. And over half of those have serious pre-existing conditions. The odds of a kid dying from COVID, they might get hit by a car. Just insane. That's the answer.
Well, Natalie, really a strange day here at this COMAC medical facility. As you said, families and doctors were celebrating the vaccine trials that Stony Brook held over the past few months. But it all happened as a new COVID concern was presenting itself.
So it all happened, and we all got it, that the vaccine, as it won't matter because the new one's coming out.
The Millers of Smithtown hoped that 10-year-old Jonathan's second vaccine dose today would ease their COVID concerns. But doctors here at Stony Brook Medicine are already focusing on yet another pandemic threat, a new COVID variant.
The concern is going to be, does the antibody you get from vaccination also prevent this new virus?
Dr. Sharon Nachman says it's still unclear if vaccines will work against this variant.
So why are we doing this? Is it me? Am I? Please, if I'm the weird one, chat, please tell me I'm the weird one here. Is it me? So instead of creating protocols, maybe like in our nursing homes, or creating protocols in our retail shops or in our offices, or worrying about how we can do things like work from home or whatever the case may be to survive during some kind of virus, our answer is trials on 10-year-olds for a virus that doesn't affect them, and then worry about a new one, which might be coming, since we use this anyway. So let's inject stuff into our kids that doesn't affect them for a virus that won't even matter 6 months from now. Am I wrong with what just happened? And the doctor's like, yeah, oh, I'm a doc. Wow. I wonder, are you that ideologically broken? Are you being paid? Do you not get it? Or maybe I'm the weird one.
The World Health Organization today labeled the variant a major concern.
We don't know a lot about the variant, except that it is a great concern. It seems to spread rapidly.
President Biden has already ordered travel restrictions starting Monday for 8 African nations.
If you're a Democrat watching this, and I know there's some Democrats watch, Your party's destroying itself. I'm just saying, this is the wrong way to go. Your party's destroying itself. If you're a Democrat watching, I would ask you, talk to your people in your party and go, dude, you got to distance yourself from this. If you have any Democrats that you like and that you want them to stay elected, if you're a Democrat watching, you have Democrats that you like, you want to stay elected, I'm going to give you some free advice. Totally free. Go to them. Get them to distance themselves from this as fast as they can. Be like, I'm a Democrat, but not this, right? Get them to distance themselves. This is going to come back to bite all these people.
The variant was first identified in South Africa, and cases have now been discovered in Europe and Asia.
As long as there's virus present in the communities, the variants are going to happen.
Yeah.
Infectious disease doctor Aisha Khan was also one proud mom today.
You did well.
You just said, as long as it exists, there's going to be variants. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Watching her 5-year-old get his second vaccine dose. Adam Hamidi is among 200 kids who took part in Stony Brook's clinical trials to determine vaccine safety for children.
What are the odds of a 5-year-old dying of COVID?
Help other people, then less people would get sick.
Jonathan Miller was among a group who had received a placebo shot during the trials.
Oh, she gave him the placebo?
Three of those placebo recipients got their final doses of the real vaccine.
Oh, they got real too.
Relief that we're almost done, that maybe it can be over.
Andrea Miller says her son and the others helped make history. Dad Michael Fisher believed in the trial so much, his 7-year-old Tucker and 3 other kids all took part.
Maybe one day they'll look back and realize how proud we are for what they've done.
They're buying the Hochul thing. Remember Hochul? She's like, this is World War II, and you're going to remember where you were when you watched Hulu and got a shot. Same as charging the beaches. That's what she believes it. Wow, they believe it. Okay, look, I'm the nutty one then. People are buying the World War II thing. Yep, Queen Kathy, I'm wrong. You were right. People are buying this. We're fighting World War II now. I guess COVID is the Nazis. Okay.
Today's events, the experts say, demonstrate once again the importance of getting vaccinated.
No, they demonstrate the blind obedience of many New Yorkers. Demonstrates this very well.
We're live in Commack. Greg Sergel, News 4 New York.
Just coming in the
past. That is what we watched. So I'm mad at you, Craig. That's your fault. I can't believe that. Oh, my God. The Omicron variant. There we go. All right. Oh, I don't know what that I don't know how to act on this. Anyway, let's keep going. I'm sorry. Wow. There we go. Victoria, what about Hochul's emergency just issued? What is these people know I'm on? Like, they know I'm coming on. Oh, Lana's coming on. Let's do that. Let's give them something to do. Remember Cuomo resigned when I was on? And now she's in. These guys know this. Oh, my God. Donna says, since it's Thanksgiving, I have to say thank you, Larry. You have no idea how much your humor and common sense talks helped me stay in the sane during all this. Thank you, Donna. I appreciate it. I'm trying. Yes, absolutely. I'm trying. Yes. All right. Shelly says, I'm a cardiac patient. And to avoid salt, I'd make everything from scratch. Yes, sometimes we have to worry about that. Of course we do. Yes, absolutely. Michelle says, I was just looking into it. I never panic, but this one got me panicking over new lockdowns. I was almost in tears before Larry, and I don't cry. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. All right, let's see if I go down here. Let's see here. Oh, I see. So, Larry, because of an app, I got an $18 Butterball for $3. People need to know how to shop. Some of you need to be DMing Michelle right now and getting some skills. That's what I'm saying. Yes, absolutely. Dan says, churches that want to help people in need should be free from liability unless it's found that there was malicious intent in an incident. 100% yes, Dan. 100% yes. Churches here in New Jersey are afraid to help often due to liability. You are exactly correct. Look, I'm not a heavy churchgoer. I'm not. But I do know many people who are. And this is community for many people. So let people have their communities, right? Of course you're going to find a bad, you know, church. Because people are human, you're going to find a bad one. But the vast, vast majority of churches are filled with people who want to help. That's why they go. They want to help. That's why they're there. Again, you're going to find a bad one here again. There's always a bad one because someone always goes, what about that guy who did this bad thing? They're there. They exist. It doesn't mean because you got a bad guy or gal doing something stupid here or there that all of a sudden all churches are bad. It does not mean that. It means the reverse. It means let's give them more than enough opportunity to help. When we do that, we'll be able to go through and find a bad one to pull them out and let people go there and find help. I completely agree. Good Samaritan rule should be automatic in this regard. Automatic. I completely agree. Yes, 100%. Shelly says, my extended family held church on the shores of a large lake. Each family physically distanced from each other. They got COVID, but the 94-year-old attending through her window did not. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's see here. Patricia says, now that visitation is permitted, I thought I could bring my father home for a visit. There are so many barriers to just having a supply of oxygen for him, a medical clearance. Oh, and you have to have permission submitted 1 week in advance. Older family members don't use cell phones and the internet, and they get upset and they can't visit my father. So hold on. So legally you can't bring your father home for a visit. Do we see the problem with that? What if your father wants to go home? Who has to clear him? How is that a thing? Your father wants to go home. He should just be able to go home. Why do we need permission or a week or medical clearance? What possible reason could there be? Might your father die at home? Maybe. And if your father's aware of that, then it's his choice. Maybe that's where he wants to die. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he wants to see his family. I don't know. But why is that a thing? Like, why are we even accepting this is true? I don't get why this is a thing. It's crazy to me. Yes. All right. Roma says, when is the New York governor race? 2022. next November. Yes. All right, let me keep going here. Eric says, had to look up the news of emergency because I can't stand to listen to Hochul. Now there's an Omicron variant. Yes. Let me grab some water here. Apologize. All right. He says, come on, man. Typical tyrants create a crisis, become totalitarian, see themselves as heroes. Yes, absolutely. Kara says, I don't think people accept another lockdown. Even my far left friends rebelled when masks for vax people were mandated again because they refused to be punished after doing the right thing. That was my issue. Right? I'm like, wait a minute. People getting vaxxed. So live your life, right? No. Do the right thing, still get punished. Why would you? Yes. Excuse me. Whoa. All right, see if I do this. Julie says, quote, we've taken extraordinary action to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and combat this pandemic. However, we continue to see warning signs of spikes this upcoming winter. It's every winter. Spikes are every winter. And while the new Omicron variant is yet to be detected in New York State, it's coming. Governor Hochul said in a press release, she just can't. Alrighty. Wow. Okay. Here we go. Oh my God. All right. Damn it, Governor, you made Larry cuss. It's true. It drives me crazy. Victoria says Brandon has stopped travel from 8 African countries. Cause that'll stop it. That'll stop it. Yes. Roman says, the hospital isn't forced to turn people away, are they? If they want money, they can see patients. No. Actually, they are forced. Yes. What happens in these things is the government decides what is essential and non-essential and decides what they can and cannot do. They might say, well, why didn't the hospital just do it? The problem is you're thinking, Roma, is that if they want money, they can see patients. But remember something. In the current system, particularly in New York State, the patient isn't the customer. And that's the problem. The patient is the patient. The customer is either the government or the insurance company. And in many cases, the government. So the government says, I'm just not going to pay you if you don't follow my rules. So they can steal the patients they want. The government's just not going to pay them. No, you don't get money because you didn't follow our rules. That's how they control. So they can see patients unless the patients have cash and are paying cash, then it's fine. And the wealthy don't care about this. Because the wealthy go to doctors that don't take insurance. I live in New York City. That's how it works. New York City, the wealthy go to doctors who don't take insurance. Most of the best doctors have stopped taking insurance literally years ago. They just don't take it anymore. There's no insurance. They'll give you a receipt, and you take your receipt and see if you can get reimbursed from your insurance company. They will not take any insurance. You're writing them a check or swiping your credit card. That's how that works. So the wealthy don't care. Or the wealthy have, they're either paying by cash or they have the Cadillac types of healthcare insurance through their companies or their organizations, in which case they can submit receipts and get a portion of the money back from their insurance company. Those are Cadillac insurance plans, which will give you something back from a receipt. Using that the whole thing, but whatever the percentage is, whatever, they'll give you something back. So they do that. So that's why they don't care. But hospitals in New York State are run by New York State. So the states, if you see patients when they tell you not to, they don't pay you, which means your hospital shuts down. So they have to do it. Or they'll get you fired. Literally, they'll get you fired. There's boards and stuff which get you fired. So 100%, you can't do it. So I get logically what you're saying. If the patients were the customer, that would be true. And in the case of wealthy people and their doctors, that is true. For the average person, you're not the customer. You're a patient in the way. The customer is the government. Well, the insurance company, you're in a way. So I hope that makes sense. All right. Let's see here. Eric says escape immunity, just like every other variant, hence the word variant. Yes, absolutely. Brian says impromptu Friday with Hochul. Yeah, that just happened. It's all Craig's fault. Yes, absolutely. Yes, 100%. Yes. Paul says new variant came along just in time for Christmas. You don't get to see your family at all. Government says no. Government says no. Yes. So, all right. Sam says, what happened to the Epsilon, Phi, Gamma, Eta. Ah, yes. What happened to all those variants? Yes. Why Omicron? I don't know how. I guess it sounds scary. Do they find like the scariest one? So they do. So they're going to call it the doom and gloom variant. The everybody's going to die variant, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Steve says the solution to COVID still is what it always was. Let healthy people get it and get over it. Slowing the spread works against us. Thank you. Protect the vulnerable, Steve. That's the answer. Protect the vulnerable. That's the issue. You know you're vulnerable. Protect those people. Let the rest get it. I agree. Tommy says you aren't weird. Thank you, Tommy. Tommy, I owe you a call. I will. I'm sorry. I've been crazy busy. I got to call you. I owe you a call. I'll make it up to you. I always do. And I will. Yes. The Frankenstein wrong thing, it says. No, it's not you. They are incredibly malevolent. Making me pronounce these hard words when I'm in a carb coma. Thank you. Yes. Desiree says more variants, more control. Yeah. Yeah. Paul says, I wish the government took cancer and diabetes as seriously as they do COVID. Yeah, for some of you who don't know, COVID in 2020, if not mistaken, was the third, I think 2020, if not mistaken, was the third leading killer of Americans. And in 2021, it's been about the sixth or seventh leading killer. So heart disease and cancer is still killing more people in the country than COVID is. And did last year also. Heart disease and cancer took more people than COVID last year in 2020, even though this was a horrible year, but COVID was still number three last year. I think this year it's been averaging six or seven. It recently, this last month, it was high, like third or something. But over the course of the year, it's like six or seventh in killing Americans. Not that that's a good thing, but you're right. Cancer and heart disease, way worse. Way worse. Yes. Joel says, remember when travel restrictions were racist? See that? Uncle Joe doesn't like Africans. Not bad. I like that. Julie says, with so much quarantining and social distancing, our immune system are going to pay more and more for that mandate. We need to be subjected to things in order for our immune system to be stronger and stronger. Valid point, right? This is another issue. If we keep all of our kids from getting all the things that kids usually get, how strong are they going to be when they're adults? Right? I don't mean to be cruel, but do you remember when we were kids, so those of you who are my age, where people were like, I want to make sure my kid gets chicken pox? Remember that thing? I got chicken pox when I was a kid. My mom wasn't mad at me. She's like, good, you got it now. Right? Right? I mean, that was the thing, right, that you did when you were little. Now, maybe that was dumb. I don't know. But that was what everyone thought. So don't we want our kids to get these things when they're young? And then when they get older, they've got strong immune system. Isn't that how that works? Look, maybe I'm wrong. I remember how we were thinking. And now we're like, kids can't get anything. Don't we want our kids to be challenged both physically, mentally, biologically, everything, so they can be stronger? I thought we did. So I guess. All righty. Shelley says, Omni is a more powerful word. Ah. And it should be to God. So again, Kathy thinks God's coming at us. Let's go, Kathy. Well, I like that. Let's go, Kathy. Nice. Nice. That's a new one. Let's go, Kathy. Hashtag. Very good. Yes. Maybe she'll go, let's go, Karen. Maybe. Brandon, Karen, maybe. Still good. I like it. But, you know, God. Maybe God was mad because New Yorkers didn't believe that he was talking to Queen Kathy. So now he's coming after us because we didn't believe him. Could be. I don't know. So, all right. Let me keep going down here if I can. So Roma says, when do people risk their children or to save the elderly? That goes against nature. I was just saying that, Roma. And a half hour ago, I was saying exactly the same thing. This is not normal. This is not normal. It's not what people do, right? It's not what people do. Gary says, I'm sorry. Kyra says, it doesn't need to be all or nothing. True. You can do more than one thing at the same time. We can do the research studies on treatments and prevention for COVID and also find ways to keep living with the virus without shutting everything down. 100% yes. Why weren't we thinking that? We should be thinking about that forever. Yes. Sam says, per the CDC, less than 700 kids from COVID have died nationwide. Yes, that's in about 3 years total, right? 2 or 3 years total. Yes. So less than 700 kids. Yes. I know over half of the kids who've died already had serious pre-existing conditions. So it's like 300 total. If you add the ones who, the healthy kids, it's like 300 healthy kids, something like that, in 3 years, like 100, it's like 100 kids a year. That's not much. Not much at all. Yes. All right. Desiree says masks aren't preventing viruses either. It says so on the box of the mask. It does. You're right, Desiree. It does. It actually literally says it on it. It does. It says that. Yes, absolutely. Missy says those of us not in New York are crying inside because we know it will trickle down to us. This is horse stuff. Yes, correct. Well, the other issue is in many states, overdose death, suicide deaths are way higher than in New York. So they're going, I don't care about COVID. I care about my cousin who took his life. I care about my niece who died of an overdose. I'm not worried about COVID. I'm worried about these things that are happening in my life, in my world right now. I can't find my sister for Thanksgiving because she's off shooting up someplace. I can't find my mom for Christmas because she left 3 months ago and I haven't seen her since. Why would I say that? Because if you had an addict in your life, you know that you will go days, weeks, or months without seeing them, and you won't know if they're dead or alive. I know. I've had that in my life. Where you don't see them or talk to them for weeks or months or sometimes even years. Usually not that long, but sometimes even that long. You don't see them. You hope they're alive. You hope they're doing well. You have no idea. And then 3 weeks, 4 weeks goes by, and you see them. And they look terrible. And you know why they look terrible. Don't care about COVID when it happens to you. You don't, when that's happening, you don't care about COVID. You care about that person who you can't find for 6 days or 3 weeks or months, whatever. Yes, absolutely. That's a piece that drives me crazy. All right, I'm sorry. Brandon says, Larry, why are people who attack or do massive harm allowed to get out bail? Seems allows more crime to happen. Yes, and this is a little bit off topic, but this is still family issues too. A little bit different, but still there. The reality of this, Brandon, is bail reform as a concept is a good thing. Bail reform in practice in New York State is a disaster. What bail reform should be based upon, this should be the number one issue you're working on when it comes to bail reform. Two separate parts, but the number one issue is first offenders. First offenders, you should be looking at them in a much more lenient world versus anything else. The people who are doing massive harm are not first offenders. I don't know why they're getting on bail. And this is something like this, right? What used to happen constantly, and still does happen, but used to happen all the time when it massive sweeps. Cops would come by and arrest an entire corner, arrest everybody. Well, on the corner is usually a bodega or a grocery store or something. So you got a kid getting some milk, and he comes out, arrests everybody, right? So everyone gets arrested. Well, on that corner were kids getting milk and kids who are gangbangers. Of the five people you arrest, four are previous records. Those guys don't get bail. But the guy who's gotten a record, he's probably just buying milk. Let him go home. He gets bail. He gets to go out. Now, if he's a gangbanger who just hasn't been caught yet, you'll get him anyway because he's a gangbanger. So you will eventually get him anyway. But if he's not, let him go home. Let him keep his job, keep his friends, keep going. He'll get his day in court. They realize, why were you there? I was buying milk. Here's my receipt. I'm not a gangbanger. All right, go home. The rest of the gangbangers get prosecuted. That was the problem, right? That was happening. That was a common problem. But everybody was getting arrested. And then the guy who couldn't get bail was like, I got a job. I got this for my mom. And the guy who was buying milk would literally cop a plea and take something and now be a felon or be convicted so he can go home. That was happening all the time. So you create bail reform for the first-time offender. Second issue, bail should only be there for people who have two problems. One, a significant flight risk, right? Or someone who may cause harm to other people. If you've been convicted of violent crimes, and you're now getting arrested again for a violent crime, clearly you are still violent. But say you've never had a violent crime, right? Never. And the crime now is not violent. You're not a harm to anybody. Why shouldn't you get out? You see, that's how it's supposed to work, Brandon. It isn't. Say you're a flight risk, right? You just sold your business and you're getting arrested for embezzlement. You've just sold your business. You are so a flight risk. Oh my God, you're a flight risk. Okay, I got it. You own a business. You've had it for 10 years. You've got 10 employees. There was a fight in your store. They arrested you and everybody else, and they assumed you were part of it. Okay, got it. Maybe you were part of it. But are you going to leave? No, you got a business, family, friends, employees. You're not going anywhere. Go home. So that's what it's supposed to be about. It isn't. Bail reform has failed miserably in New York State. It's a good idea, enacted horribly. So that's the issue. You're right. People who do horrible things should not be getting out. But people who are a flight risk or a violent risk could get out if they shouldn't get out, but unless they are first offenders. But the other issue is, when appropriate, you can use ankle bracelets. That's not a crazy thing to do. You can use ankle bracelets. The person cuts the ankle bracelets off or gets caught in jail. No bail revoked. Use ankle bracelet. You can do that too. You don't have to keep people locked up unless you're really afraid of something. And that's what we are not doing well. So I hope that makes sense at least. So, all right. All right. All righty. Michelle says, because my husband and myself were at risk, we got vaxxed. I get that. I'm not anti-vax. People think I am. I am not at all. I'm anti-mandate. You should do what you think is right for your health. That's all that matters. I'm not against you doing whatever you think is right. It's your life. You should care about it the way you want to care about it. So good on you. Awesome. He got the booster, and I was going to, but now I'm rethinking with this new one. I'm not sure you should or shouldn't get it. I don't have any opinion on that. Here's what I'm happy you're thinking. That's all I care about. Blind obedience or blind rebellion are both bad. You are doing neither, Michelle. Well done. That's all you're thinking about it. Do what you think is right for you. 100%. Yes. So, all righty. Let's see. Grab a couple more of these if I can. When will the Omicron Percy 8 variant? Oh, nice, David. That's a very, that, by the way, for those who don't know, that is a reference from Futurama. Yes. Omicron Percy 8. Nicely done. Very good. I love that. Nicely done. All right. Let's see this. You thought I wouldn't get that one, David. I did. I got that one. It's okay. Yes. And Eric says, yes, Michelle Ann, and that's fine. That's your choice. 100%. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Ryan says, hammer that. LarrySharp.com/20K. All right, guys. I will. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Guys, if you want to help out, of course, World's Most Political Quiz always helps me out. But also, if you want to, please head over and be part of our money bomb. LarrySharp.com/20K. We have a 20K donor who is going to write me a check for 20K to the campaign. If we can get $20,000, it gets us rocking and rolling. We need to get rocking and rolling to buy polls, buy ads, move this thing forward. So absolutely, if you can, please do that. If you want to give crypto, click that same link. You will see this link right there. You made money in Bitcoin. Look, I'm not greedy. Just give me half a Bitcoin. Only half, not even a whole. Give me half a Bitcoin. We'll be fine. All good. So thank you for that, Ryan. I do appreciate it. Thank you, of course. So, all right. If I can do this real fast. See, are you guys throwing a lot of stuff at me here? Victoria says chicken pox parties. You remember that? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Michelle says, Jay got chicken pox, so I threw Philip in with him while my kids were always healthy. That was a thing. I remember. That was a thing we did. Yes. Was it wrong? I don't know, but that's a thing. Absolutely. Yes. Chip says, just in time for the holidays, the South African variant. If you use promo code Fauci, you get a 20% discount. Operators are standing by. Yes, absolutely. Is that the promo code Fauci? I love that. That's very good. Bernard says, everyone should move to the Texas or Florida. That's already happening, Bernard. I mean, you see it already. Didn't Texas get two new congresspeople, if not mistaken? Everyone's running Texas. Half New York's running Florida. So, yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. It's totally true. So, yes. All right. Let's see here. Shelly says, the only first offender I would jail is a child molester, especially if they have multiple victims. Child molesters aren't caught until they have acquired many victims. You know, I'm open to that idea, Shelley. I am. I'm open to these issues. I am. And you could write a law that would work with that, right? You could make exceptions here or there, giving judges some discretion here, not discretion in other areas. It could be done. I think bail reform can be done, and it can be done well. We didn't do that here. That we did not do it here. But yes, we definitely could have done that. Absolutely. So yes, Brent, all I have is a debit card. Can I donate? Yes, you can. Put that debit card right in. Go right ahead. Thomas, thank you for $100. You have to say, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Yes, Brent, you can donate with a debit card. Does not matter. 100%. You can. Absolutely. Yes. 100%. Yes. Shelley says we need to behave like the citizens of Texas and Florida. Well, it's hard, Shelley. You're right, but it's hard. I don't blame other people who aren't doing it because so many New Yorkers have jobs that are, you know, somehow coming from the government. And you gotta pay your bills, right? I mean, I don't want you to do something that is so bad that it hurts you from paying your bills. I want you to pay your bills. That's important. So, yeah, I get it. But when the government is trying to stop you, not pay your company, break your small business, fine your small business, it is really hard to do that when that's happening, right? It's really hard when that's happening. So I'm trying my best. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it's not easy. That's all I'm going to say. It's not easy. Guys, of course, please, if you can support, please support. Always like, comment, share. I tell you all the time I do it because it does matter. I appreciate all of you. I want to say thank you so much for this evening. Give me an hour or so of your evening during this 4-day weekend. I wanted to come back and do this again because I thought it did matter. As always, community matters tremendously in us being happy. Whether that community comes from your family, your church, your civic groups, your gaming groups, your online groups, whatever that might be, your community center, wherever that comes from, it's important. Government should not be trying to stop it. It should be trying to help it. Happy people are better citizens. Happy people are better friends, are better family members, are better people in general. Remember, hurt people hurt. Happy people help. I want you to help the people who are hurt. To do so, you should be happy. The happier you are, the more successful you are, the more you're going to be able to help those who aren't. It does matter. So please, guys, remember, community matters. If you're going to fight the power, fight it with community, not by yourself. Guys, have a great weekend. I will see you all on Monday.